Marcus Lewa.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
I am dreaming of when I get back to Houston. I'm dreaming of that fair and special place.
God, is this the best that Coldplay could do? In their tribute to Houston, which has become Atlantis underwater because of Hurricane Harvey dumping all that rain on Houston and nearby and Beaumont and Port Arthur, and as it whips its way up the coast to Louisiana, and the damage continues. But here on the drive home at 5, we're going to focus on what has become the battle between two primetime Republicans on what have you done for me lately? Because you can remember, it was back in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy that Ted Cruz, Jesus motivated me to do this, stood up front, represented the Texas Coalition of Elected Officials, and said, we're not going to send you the Hurricane Sandy relief money right now, the FEMA money, because there's too much pork. And the other day on MSNBC, he doubled down on that.
I and a number of others enthusiastically and emphatically supported hurricane relief for Sandy. Hurricane relief and disaster relief has been a vital federal role for a long, long time, and it should continue. The problem with that particular bill is it became a $50 billion bill that was filled with unrelated pork. Two-thirds of that bill had nothing to do with Sandy. And what I said then and still believe now is that it's not right for politicians to exploit a disaster and people are hurting to pay for their own political wish list.
And then earlier today, Shavu El Jefe Chris Christie reemerged from offshore Seaside Heights. In fact, he's swimming in the direction of the Gulf of Mexico as we speak, bringing relief supplies from New Jersey. But he decided to stop off first at the president's favorite show, Fox and Friends, to call Ted lying Ted Cruz.
Senator Cruz's accusation that two-thirds of the Sandy bill was pork is absolutely ridiculous. Washington Post did a fact check on it yesterday that is consistent with what I remember at the time. There was a Senate bill that had some of that, and it all got stripped out because all of us, including the people in New Jersey, objected to it. They were playing politics with it, okay? They were all getting ready to do what they wanted to do for 2016 and make themselves seem like the most conservative person. The fact of the matter is, there's not a liberal conservative way to deal with people who are drowning and dying.
Wow, since when is Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie using the Washington Post to do fact-checking? That's a bit odd that he'd be citing the Washington Post that he criticizes so much. So, you know, who would know more about what is the truth of this argument than a guy who actually lives on the Jersey Shore? You cut his veins and artery, he bleeds New Jersey, Garden State, tomatoes, whatever. And beer, there's no doubt about that. Microbrewed, of course. We're not talking to Ballantyne Blass, Rheingold, or Chafer. And a guy who writes his columns for the Newark Star-Ledger. It's Paul Molsheim, and we welcome him into the Drive Home at 5 again. Thanks for jumping on board, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so, Paul, now we have the two titans of the Republican Party. In one corner, it's Chris Christie calling Cruz, lying Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz saying, no. There was just too much pork in the relief effort that initially was underway to send money to New Jersey and New York for Superstorm Sandy relief. Who's lying? Who's telling the truth?
Ted's lying on this one. I mean, he is just lying his big Texas butt off on this one. Some of the stuff that they were saying was pork in that package back then was putting $2 million for a new roof on the Smithsonian, which was damaged by the winds from Sandy, right? Now, that's a federal building, federal money to fix a federal building. Where else is the money going to come from but the federal government to fix a federal building? Then there was some damage down in Puerto Rico also, you know, from the early part of the storm, and they called that pork. And then there was $17 billion for community development block grants, which they called pork, which was the actual money that was used to rebuild the towns along the shore that were blasted by Sandy. You know, Peter King, the Long Island congressman, went after Ted on this back then as well. This was really outrageous. And then, by the way, this isn't the first time Ted is whining. In 2015, there was a hurricane in Texas, and he was whining for hurricane relief just 3 years after he didn't want to give it to us.
So at the time of maybe the worst catastrophe of any hurricane that we have seen hit the coast of the United States, why do you think he takes this moment to double down in defense of what he did in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy?
Well, he figures he can get away with it because people don't look into the details of the $51 billion aid package. But if you look into the details, it was the exact same sort of aid he now wants for Texas. And, you know, of course there's going to be some pork in there because people jump on these things, but it's the exact same situation.
Now, Paul Mulshine, they will need overall, when all is said and done, more money in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey than for any of the storms previously. We should be very generous, shouldn't we? We should just give them all that they want and not try to take from other government programs as conservatives have done in the past when they've allocated special FEMA funds. They've always said, we'll give you the money, but we really want to take it from existing programs.
Well, that's the thing. They've got to name some other programs. That's the thing. It's easy to say other programs. That's the old waste, fraud, and abuse argument. I'll get the money by cutting waste, fraud, and abuse somewhere else. Well, specifically, what are you going to cut? Tell us what you're going to cut, because the budget is usually pretty tight, and everybody's protecting their own interests. So, tell us which other program.
Okay, so Superstorm Sandy occurred many, many years ago. It almost seems like a lifetime, 2012, at the reelection of Barack Obama. Some say it guaranteed his reelection. But has Jersey recovered since? Are there still outstanding monies that need to be paid or are owed?
There still are, and Christie did a worse job on it than Cuomo did. Apparently, Christie hired one of his buddies from the U.S. Attorney's Office who treated it like a legal problem instead of an effort to get money. And Cuomo apparently got a guy who really knew the federal bureaucracy and got all his ducks in a row. So Christie didn't. He did well in the beginning. He got us back, back functioning pretty quick. But then the long-term effort was lagging.
Now, wasn't Chris Christie's wife running a nonprofit that was raising money to try to help those who had been devastated by Superstorm Sandy?
Yeah, and I never followed up on that, so I can't say what happened to all that money, but she was doing that.
Would you do us a solid and see if you can? Because I remember there was a question, how come you're sitting on the money at that time, Mrs. Christie, like a hen ready to hatch eggs, when people were desperately in need of any kind of finance to hold them over?
Yeah, that was something. I mean, those funds, it was a little more embarrassing at the time. She was holding a full-time job at Cantor Fitzgerald, being the first lady of New Jersey, raising four kids, and also, it didn't look like, she finally left the job to her credit, because at the time, you're saying, wait a minute, everybody knows those people that work at Cantor Fitzgerald, they make a lot of money, but they work 80-hour weeks.
Why do you find, whether it's in New Jersey or New York, our elected officials, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, always feel the need to start their own nonprofit and have a family member of some type run it?
Yeah, well, it's fun. You get a nice slush fund. You get to give it out. You get to make people happy. So, yeah,
And Paul, a lot of these guys and gals, these officials who've done exactly that, have ended up going to jail because they don't know how to run a nonprofit.
Right. Everybody ends up looting these things, By the way, the other thing you're going to see here that's going to drive you crazy is all the liberals, all the environmental Luddites will be saying, we can't rebuild in the areas that were flooded. Now, they said that here, and it was just stupid. They said, well, we can't rebuild on the barrier islands. We have to retreat. Well, you can't retreat because the barrier island broke through right where I live. And that flooded the poor people inland, where they suffered $10 billion. They suffered worse damage inland in the inland communities on the bay than we did on the ocean. The ocean communities come back pretty quick, but they would say this silly stuff. You can't live near the ocean. We should give up. We should soften the coastline. Now they're saying they'll be saying the same thing about Houston. They'll be saying, well, these people shouldn't be living where it floods. Well, you can't abandon Houston. It's a giant city, you know.
Well, not only Houston, there's Beaumont, there's Port Arthur, and there's the main city on the coast, Galveston.
Yeah, which had the biggest death toll of any hurricane tragedy in American history in that big 100 years ago. But they built a seawall down in Galveston.
Yes.
You notice they weren't stupid. The famous the Glenn Campbell song about the seawall in Galveston, my Galveston. That seawall went up and is still there, and at least keeps the hurricanes from overrunning the town.
Let me tell you something, Paul Molchan. It was a much better song, Galveston, my Galveston, by Glenn Campbell, than that rendition of Houston by Coldplay sung the other night. Oh, God, was that horrible. Was that horrible?
Curtis Sliwa.
The next mayor of the city of New York.
Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New Yorker.
77 WABC.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here.
So what's the latest in the controversy as to whether the Christopher Columbus statue should stay or go? Well, someone has taken it into their own hands on the drive home in 5 in Yonkers in Westchester County. They beheaded the statue in honor of Christopher Columbus, and Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino was seeking the death penalty against him once they caught. And I trace this all back to Melissa Mark, Viva Libre Puerto Rico, the speaker of the 51 Deadbeats and Slackers of the New York City Council, when she said this.
There obviously has been a very much an ongoing dialogue and debate in the Caribbean, particularly in Puerto Rico, where I'm from, about this same conversation, that there should be no monument or statue of Christopher Columbus based on what he means or what he signifies.
And then she was met by a tsunami of backlash, first by Nicole Malliotakis, Republican conservative assemblywoman and mayoral candidate from Staten Island, Brooklyn.
I mean, that's the problem with this mayor, is he's quick to send off a press release, and now you have even Christopher Columbus, the founder of our nation, is under attack.
The founder of our nation. Ugh. And then it got worse when that Gavone, independent mayoral candidate Bo Dito, weighed in on this.
Stop the nonsense. We're not removing Christopher Columbus. He's our leader.
Christopher Columbus is our leader, Bo? And then he came on the show and he said, hey, that's not my voice. It's somebody imitating me. That's a double oofah. But right now on the line, Hersin Barrero. He is my partner on New York One, that you can see debate the issues of the week with me tonight, Wednesday nights, both at 7 and at 10. If you have Spectrum, if you have News One capability, he's also editor at large for City and State. Thanks for jumping on board in the drive home at 5, Hersin.
Thank you so much, Curtis. It's good to see you all, and all to all your born again Latinos. I mean, citizens. Curtis, by the way, that term partner loosely, okay? I don't want to be too much associated with you. I hear that they got people gunning for you. But listen, seriously, do we have, what's happened to the stupidometer? Has it been multiplied? Is it that we're getting cloning stupid people from Melissa Martiverito to Nicole Malliotakis to Bo Diddle? These people are nuts. And the person, I know you were kidding, and I think you should specify that and clear that up for the people, your listeners, who are devoted and believe, 90% of what you say. You know, Rob Astorino is not going to seek the death penalty to the person that actually tore down the statue, which was a replacement because the original one was stolen. However, anybody that destroys any property that is not their own, public property like this, go after them. Get the bum. That's a criminal. It is. You can oppose things. You know, we're not savages in this country. At least some of us aren't. You don't do this. I am against Christopher Columbus and what he stands for. But that does not give me a right. I can opine, and you haven't heard me say that his statue should come down. You're going to don't fall on the floor right now. But I happen to agree with Bill de Blasio in the sense that there should be plaques. Nothing should come down. Leave Christopher Columbus in every statue, but, an adjoining plaque, explanation of the context of the history. You know, there were people settled in this land, in this country, what is now a country, prior to Christopher Columbus and all the white people who came to exploit them. But it's not Christopher Columbus alone. There is a historical context. people should learn their history, but we shouldn't go crazy over a stupid damn statue.
All right, but Hershen Borrero, you're in solidarity with Comrade Bill de Blasio, the mayor of the city of New York, on this. He wants to put a plaque on offensive statues, commemorations.
Well, every statue is offensive. Every statue is offensive to someone, somebody. But the history is undeniable, but you don't tear them down. I'm against tearing down anything. First thing is, statues or naming of bridges. A bridge is a bridge, a statue is a statue. Money. You know, this is crazy. It's like the Ed Koch Bridge, right? Which you never call the Ed Koch Bridge. What are we going into? The renaming of streets. If you have a street, then that's it. You cannot change history. There is historical context, and you're able to accept or deny the history of every person. You know, what's to say that from 50 years from now, there won't be a Donald Trump bill? You know, currency, part of the currency, or a coin. We won't be around. You know, the history will be told in a different way. As a matter of fact, I mean, I think he's a horrible president. What if he turns out to be a good president? And some people could say, you know, we cannot change that. And it's only a damn statue. What are we going crazy with all the problems? People dying because Mother Nature, you should be worried about climate change. This is stupid. Melissa's stupid. They call the stupid. Bulldoodle the stupid. And we cannot be led by the stupid people.
All right, but Hershen Borrero, if you could design the plaque with the words for the Christopher Columbus Monument at 59th Street, Columbus Circle, what would it say or should say according to you?
Christopher Columbus, whatever name in Italian, his proper name in Italian, which, you know, we changed his name because we decided we're gringos and we can change anything. We should then say, this man came to the land of known now as America, but before he didn't discover anything, there were people who actually were, you know, cultivating the land, lived the land. They were called Native Americans, so and so and so. And there was a sense of exploitation because his mission was to fund and bring back treasures to the people who funded this, which included Spain, which people forget. So that context, a historical context, as brief as it can, and with modern technology, you can do, you know, a host of things. You know, there's a school at 133rd Street, 499 West 133rd Street, and it's PS 161. It is named Pedro Albizu Campos. That is a Puerto Rican nationalist. It's been named like that for decades. I don't want anybody changing that because he was a Puerto Rican nationalist. He's my hero. I don't want anybody messing with
him. All right. But all I don't right. Wanna- I tell you what. I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal, and we'll seal the deal tonight on New York One, in which you can watch me and Hershen debate the issues of the week with Errol Lewis as the moderator. You leave Christopher Columbus alone, no plaque, at 59th Street Columbus Circle, and I'll leave at West 133rd Street, the public school named after Albizu Campos, who has been the hero to the Machateros, FALN, and enemies of America. All right? How about that? Okay? You leave Christopher Columbus alone. We leave Albizu Campos alone.
Curtis Lewa.
Really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're very honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
Rock on. Oh, a headbanger's ball with AC/DC from down under in Australia. But no, it's not Australia, because it's winter there. Remember, it's south of the equator. It is summer here, or at least the waning days of summer. But remember in the beginning, there was Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Fraccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, saying,
it will be a summer of hell for commuters.
Ah, and it certainly was. All you got to do is listen to this panoply of various comments made on our complaint line of our many listeners who have had to use all forms of mass transit this summer that have been curtailed.
I think Governors Cuomo and Christie should be forced to ride the train lines all summer. They can share our pain.
Delayed every day coming in, delayed every day leaving, but, you know, you deal with it.
I've actually been coming earlier and leaving earlier from the office if possible, although the days that I can't leave earlier, my train tends to be delayed even longer.
It just took me 2.5 hours to get home on the QM2.
Nonsense. Nobody does anything to improve the situation.
F*** the MTA. F*** de Blasio. F*** the whole city. God bless.
I'm on the coastline trains, and if that doesn't work out so well, at least if I can get to Newark, I can take the path over.
It's going to get worse. I've been referring to it this summer as one of the circles of hell, and everybody's calling it the summer of hell.
Been stuck sometimes 2-3 hours, and then you get on the train, it's like a subway car, you know, and you're standing, and people are all over each other, and you're paying $20 for that ride.
I don't really think there's ever really a convenient time for them to be shutting down the train station or at least making all these changes.
Me and my friends are looking to find alternate train stations, and we're going to have to wake up extra early to make sure that we can find a spot on the trains.
The service is terrible. It's getting worse. Fares are going up. And instead of maintaining it every year like you do with a normal system, they let it go to pot, and then they say, oh, we've got to disrupt you for months and months.
And all of these complaints came into our WABC complaint line. And they dealt with New Jersey Transit, Amtrak, Metro North, Long Island Railroad, and our subway system. And all that Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, could say was to give you advice about not getting hit by a train.
Getting hit by a train is never fun.
Could I hear that again, please?
Getting hit by a train is never fun.
Well, he said that about a month ago. And now he's dancing the horror and the tarantella today. Like our president, remember Bush 43 did on May 1st of 2003 on the deck of that aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf when he declared victory in Iraq, remember? Well, that's exactly what Andrew Evilize Cuomo did today. And he pulled out his Maytag, his part-time executive director of the money-taking agency, the MTA, Joe Loda, who spends most of his time over at the Langone Medical Center, the NYU Medical Center, his full-paying all-day job, and then spends a few hours managing the MTA. And Joe Loda had the gall to tout the MTA.
We're adopting a faster, quicker decision-making process, and we're regularly staffing a war room so that no matter where we have a problem, anywhere in the system, so decisions can be made quickly and unilaterally.
Really? I'm supposed to believe that, right? And the propaganda continued as he talked about the Long Island Railroad's performance.
Let me be clear. The Long Island Railroad's level of performance and customer care provided this summer has become and will be the new normal.
Really? And then he said that there were 400 ideas that were submitted for that $1 million genius award. Remember that he was talking about in which somebody out there can make $1 million? Well, I want you to juxtaposition this with the panoply of complaints that have poured into WABC over the weeks.
I think Governors Cuomo and Christie should be forced to ride the train lines all summer. They can share our pain.
Delayed every day coming in, delayed every day leaving, but, you know, you deal with it.
I've actually been coming earlier and leaving earlier from the office if possible, although the days that I can't leave earlier, my train tends to be delayed even longer.
It just took me 2.5 hours to get home on the QM2.
Nonsense. Nobody does anything to improve the situation.
F*** the MTA. F*** de Blasio.
F them.
The whole city. God bless.
I'm on the coastline trains, and if that doesn't work out so well, at least if I can get to Newark, I can take the path over.
It's going to get worse. I've been referring to it this summer as one of the circles of hell, and everybody's calling it the summer of hell.
Been stuck sometimes 2-3 hours, and then you get on the train, it's like a subway car, you know, and you're standing, and people are all over each other, and you're paying $20 for that ride.
I don't really think there's ever really a convenient time for them to be shutting down the train station or at least making all these changes.
Me and my friends are looking to find alternate train stations, and we're going to have to wake up extra early to make sure that we can find a spot on the trains.
The service is terrible. It's getting worse. Fares are going up. And instead of maintaining it every year like you do with a normal system, they let it go to pot, and then they say, oh, we've got to disrupt you for months and months.
Love that one woman. She's definitely old school, probably a baby boomer, when she said, F de Blasio. But then ended up realizing instead of washing her mouth out with Fels Naphtha soap or Roquette Shift, she's kosher. She said, God bless to all of us. If she said, God bless, it would be Roquette. No, if she said, Hashem bless, it would be Roquette. If she said, Fels Naphtha soap, it would be JC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And the drive at 5.
There are so many ways to do it.
On air, online, on the app.
That's unbelievable.
77 WABC.
No sleep till.
As we continue on the drive home at 5, and now the special feature of our street side reporter who's been busting his shoes, Bob Brown, on rounding up all the challenges to make sure that Comrade Bill de Blasio remains a one-term mayor. Yesterday it was Nicole Malliotakis, and today it is the Democratic primary challenger of Comrade Bill de Blasio, Sal Albanese, who is also running in the general election as the Reform Party candidate.
It's a 77 WABC News special report. New York City's mayoral candidates.
Sal Albanese was born in Italy and grew up in New York City. The former city council member and school teacher ran unsuccessfully for mayor in 1997. In 2000, he pulled out of another attempted run, then tried again in 2013. However, again, it was not to be. The decaying subway system is a major priority for Albanese, who says he wants to be known as the city's mass transit mayor.
I'm running for mayor, Bob, because a lot of issues are not being addressed, major issues like mass transit. The system is melting down, and this mayor for 3.5 years has basically taken a position that it's not his job. And it is his job. He has to be the key advocate for the millions of people who ride the subways every single day, and he's failed in that job.
As far as Mayor de Blasio's proposed millionaire's tax to fix and overhaul the subway system, Albanese says forget about it.
He rolls that out every single time he needs revenue. It's obviously a cover-up for the fact that he's been disinterested in mass transit for 3.5 years, and this is going nowhere. It's been rejected by the state legislature 3 times.
He says he wants to reform the political system.
It's corrupt. We have a pay-to-play system. De Blasio has been under several investigations where the U.S. attorney and the Manhattan DA both said he acted unethically and inappropriately. And I got a system to revamp the way campaigns are financed so that we eliminate pay-to-play, we eliminate bundling, and people from neighborhoods will have the same power as the special interest in this city.
However, it's important to note prosecutors did not bring charges against the mayor regarding questionable fundraising tactics. Meantime, as far as the city's homeless problem?
We have record homelessness in this city where de Blasio has mismanaged it. He spent $2 billion, and it's worse than ever. And I want to build real affordable housing. The housing that he's building is not affordable for most New Yorkers. He wants to build 90 shelters. I'm totally against that. I want to build affordable housing that people who live in the neighborhoods could afford. Because what he's doing right now is basically building housing that neighborhood people can't really afford.
Crime.
Crime is down. I'm going to continue to work on that, except that it's up in transit.
Slashing on the subways. Really
mass
big.
Mass transit. I'm going to put cops back on trains. You never see a police officer on a train anymore. And we've seen sexual assaults up 54%, slashings up dramatically. So crime is not down everywhere. Public housing, it's still up. And I'm going to focus on those entities.
Albanese says he would also focus on boosting morale in the police department.
De Blasio has demoralized the police force. 90% of police officers in the city don't want to work for him. So I want to lift their morale and get them to at least know that their mayor appreciates the job that they do.
Bob Brown, WABC News.
Interesting fact about mayoral candidate Sal Albanese. He was actually at Comrade Bill de Blasio's wedding in Prospect Park. And guess what? Bill de Blasio was 45 minutes late to that. Plus, Sal is the only immigrant candidate who came over from Calabria, Italy, on the SS Christopher Columbus. How poignant and pertinent to the conversations about the Christopher Columbus statue today at 59th Street Columbus Circle.